Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out, Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice World.
This your man, Mastermind of Hell, Raise Up.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Let's just start out by going right at it.
how is Puffy responsible for Tupac's murder?
Well, his involvement was somewhat indirect. You know, he wasn't there. He didn't provide the gun. Prior to the murder, he had contacted one of the leaders of the local crew, the Southside Crips, and out of this sense of kind of desperation, because he was at odds with Suge Knight, and he knew that the conflict had gotten to the point where it was kill or be killed. And so he solicits these Southside Crips to take care of the problem for him. They end up in Las Vegas with no intention whatsoever of carrying out the solicitation at that time. But one thing, you know, that kind of precipitates the murder is the fight with Orlando Anderson at the MGM casino. And mm-hmm. Orlando Anderson's uncle is Keefe D, who's the one who's having this conversation with Puffy. And they say, hey, let's kill two birds with one stone. You know, you want to get back at him for the beatdown? I've got this, you know, this solicitation from Puffy. Let's take care of business. And so they get a gun from one of Puffy's associates out there, a guy named Eric Martin, Zip. And the rest is history. They hunt him down, find him, and shoot him.
Bam.
Yeah, and you guys pieced that together. I mean, without a doubt. If I was a judge or a member of a jury, I would definitely send Puffy to prison. Why hasn't there been, I mean, with this much damning evidence, why hasn't there been a grand jury willing to indict Puffy?
Well, the problem is that when you come down to the judicial process and you're actually in court and you've got a multi-million-dollar defense team, which is what Puffy would mount, and your star witness is a convicted drug-dealing gang member who has previously denied any involvement in the murder. And so he will immediately lose his credibility on the witness stand under cross-examination. And now you've got this in a situation where, you know, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this took place. And when your star witness is losing his credibility on the stand, and, you know, this is the nature of a trial. And it would be a very difficult thing to prove. And that's always the dilemma of the homicide investigator. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove in court. And those sometimes
right.
are two distinctly different things.
Right. Yeah. I always, me myself, I always thought of, you know, like, Pacman was stomping this dude out and shit, you know what I'm saying? And then they ended up, you know, like, I just think of it in terms of, like, where I'm from. Somebody stomps somebody out, we're going to catch this motherfucker when he come outside. We're going to tighten his ass up. That's how I always looked at it. I never thought, like, the conspiracies, motherfuckers think, oh, he's still alive, this and that. But I always felt like, why was them dudes even around them guys? You know what I'm saying?
They were there to murder him, yeah. That's
yeah,
why,
like,
why
would
they,
well,
you guys tied that, not to cut you off, I just want to elaborate on that. You guys tied that together because I always thought Orlando Anderson incident and Puffy were two separate things, but it turns out that they were actually connected, and you guys tied that together. Was it something that Russell Poole put together, or did you, Greg, put this together during your investigation?
This was something that we kind of stumbled upon during our investigation. Once we had gotten Keefe into a situation where he, you know, needed to cooperate, you know, to protect himself from this potential prosecution we built against him. I'm assuming you guys have seen the documentary and all. And so we had to build a case and get witnesses to cooperate. So once we got, you know, that information, we were able to put the pieces together. We were able to look back in time, look at the Orlando Anderson, you know, the Orlando Anderson assault, and start putting everything in its proper perspective. Now, Russell Poole never had that. He, you know, he came on very early in the case. He was only on it for a short period of time, and he always believed, even though he was more focused on Biggie's murder, he always believed that Suge Knight had something to do with Pac's murder. But as you said earlier, I mean, there's just no basis for that belief. It's kind of ludicrous.
As much as we want to believe. Because Suge Knight is pretty much an evil motherfucker. But, yeah, this one you can't really pin on him. In fact, in the documentary, I like how you guys show that in his cell, there was two photos. I think one was one of his friends, and the other one was of Tupac. Do you think he was genuinely hurt that Tupac was killed, and do you think he's responsible? Of course, I know what you're going to say, but do you think he's responsible for the murder of Biggie Smalls?
Absolutely. He retaliated against a bad boy by killing Biggie. There was erroneous information out in the streets at that time that Biggie was in Las Vegas. Biggie was associating with the Southside Crips, and that Biggie had provided the gun. It was near accurate, but it wasn't Biggie. It was Eric Martin, who was out in Vegas, the associate of Bad Boy, the one who was the intermediary between the Crips and Bad Boy, and the one who provided the gun. But because of that bad information about it being Biggie, he was targeted. It's very unfortunate that things played out that way. But yeah, it was Suge retaliated for it. Suge loved Pac, and Suge loved Jake Robles, and those are the two guys whose photos he had in his prison cell. You know, Jake was killed by a Bad Boy associate in Atlanta in 95, and then Tupac was killed in 96. So, you know, those were the two guys that weighed heavily on his heart.
And so essentially, Puffy, you could link him, I mean, because by him killing Tupac, it set off a chain of events, or him having Tupac killed, essentially got his own artist killed. And has anybody, since you guys put this out, has anybody, like, have you heard anything from Biggie's mom or Tupac's mom? Has anybody come forward demanding, you know, justice about this?
Well, before anything was put out, actually before the book was even published in 2011, I went out to Pennsylvania. I went to Valletta Wallace's house and sat down with her and explained to her what we had discovered in the police investigation. And, you know, we sat there, and it was a very emotional encounter, you know, because she was, I think, understanding clearly what had happened. And I think she was starting to see that other people were responsible than who she previously had believed based on the Russell Poole nonsense. And, you know, so I think she knows that all of these guys, Puffy and Suge, all had some responsibility in the murder of her son.
Yeah. I wonder if she's going to come out, or Phoenix Shakur is going to come out about this, because, I mean, you guys got it, you know, open and shut case, it looks like. I mean, it would be a straight conviction in any courtroom. I mean, I understand, you know, with the powerful attorneys that Puffy has and whatnot, many prosecutors wouldn't want to go after that. If I was a young prosecutor wanting to make a name for myself, though, do you think there's anybody with balls that would actually want to do this? Has there been any talks of that? Do you guys hear anything about that?
There's probably people that would be willing to do it. Like you said, some young, aggressive prosecutors that want to make a name for themselves and believe that you shouldn't just prosecute crimes based on the winnability. You should prosecute crimes based on, you know, that it's just the right thing to do, regardless of if, you know, But that's not the politics of it. The politics are that some young prosecutor has to go to his boss, who will in turn go to his boss. It's a high-profile case. And ultimately, some political district attorney is going to say, what's our winnability? Well, we're not even 50-50. We're not going to, you know. So then, of course, at that point, they say, well, I don't prosecute cases that are 50-50. it's just not the politics of it.
And it's... that's a total injustice, because so many people, you know, want to know the truth, and that's why I really commend you guys. Also, though, are you guys in fear of something happening to you for shedding light upon this?
Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it was a concern from the very beginning. For the first time ever, I mean, this is my fourth documentary. And for the first time ever on any of my films, I met with a law firm before I even started. And I hired probably the most amazing law firm I could have found out of Beverly Hills that specializes in documentaries. And I made sure that from the very beginning we were above board on everything, just from a legal perspective. you know, from a perspective of fearing, like, physical retaliation. I don't know. I mean, early on, I felt more like this was a historical documentary. I thought, you know, this is history. This is, we're almost on 20 years now.
Yeah, I'm about to say this is history.
I just thought, you know, this is a historical film, and really nobody's in any danger, like Greg said, of being prosecuted for it. So, you know, I'm not that worried about it, but, you know, I'm alert. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Nothing wrong being alert, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The last time I went to Mike's house, he opened the door with a shotgun. So whatever that means.
Yeah. I always, you know, that's how I always open the door though. So that's nothing changed. Always with the 12 gauge every time. Yeah.
What about Puffy though? I mean, there's been a lot of news about your documentary in the media lately, and a lot of stories, you know, are exposing him. Have you heard anything from his camp?
We haven't heard a single thing from his camp, no. Nothing.
You probably don't expect
He released a statement to All Hip Hop back when Greg's book came out, and that, I think, has been the last word that's come out of his side about any of this.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to... even address it, which is crazy. And you know what else is crazy? Once Tupac was out of the picture, and once Biggie was out of the picture, who became the star? You know, who's the one that is essentially a billionaire right now? You know, it's all kind of funny to me. It's all kind of funny. But now Suge, he's already in jail. I mean, he ran over a couple guys on the set of Straight Outta Compton. Is there anything to tie him to any of this?
Well, you know,
Shug, have the powerful lawyers that Puffy has.
No, you know, that's the thing. You know, once Suge got out of prison back in 2002 or something like that, after his stint, as his involvement in the Orlando Anderson stomp down. You know, death row had, you know, spiraled downward. He was a shell of his former self. He'd lost all of his street influence. You know, he went in the opposite direction of Puffy. And, you know, so Suge Knight just became kind of a street thug. And, you know, that's why he's where he's at today. But he certainly has responsibility in the murder of Biggie Smalls. He solicited that murder as a direct retaliation for Pac. And you know, that's why we don't have Biggie anymore.
Now he solicited that.
It's cold-blooded, boy.
Did they ever catch the people? I mean, do you guys know who was the? I mean, you implicated Orlando Jones as the one who pulled the trigger on Tupac. Do you know who pulled the trigger on Biggie Smalls?
Yeah, we know that Orlando Anderson shot Tupac out in Vegas, and a guy named Wardell Poochie Faust. Poochie was his gang moniker. Wardell Faust was the shooter of Biggie Smalls in Los Angeles in 1997. He was a guy that was associated with the mob Piru. He was a very violent gang member. He had done other shootings reportedly on behalf of Suge Knight. So, you know, he was the perfect candidate to follow up for Suge's orders.
Yeah, yeah. Now Orlando, I thought it was. I never had it. I thought his people had Pac killed, but I never knew that he was the one that squeezed the trigger on Tupac. Can you explain to the people, kind of, you know, without giving too much away, because I want them to go and see this movie, but kind of explain to them his involvement in the actual killing of Tupac?
Yeah, I think Mike knows all the details. Am I?
Yeah, so the four of them, well, originally it was a bigger group. They were in a van and the white Cadillac, the infamous white Cadillac. And they went out looking for Tupac and Suge. And they first went to the 662 Club because everybody in town knew that Tupac was going to be performing there that night. And they got there and they weren't there yet. And they started to get, you know, worried about some of the mob Piru that were hanging out around the club. So they took off. And at that point, Fifi said that some of the guys got nervous. So So Keefe jumped into the white Cadillac with three other guys and said, we'll just go handle this on our own. And so they ditched, you know, half their crew and split off on their own. And it was allegedly it was Orlando Anderson and a guy named DeAndre Smith in the back seat. And then in the front seat, it was the driver was Terrence Brown. And then Keefe D was in the passenger seat. And Keefe had the gun. So Keefe says he was planning on being the shooter. But when they pulled up alongside the BMW, they pulled up on the wrong side based on how traffic was aligned on the street. And so he realized he would have to shoot across the face of his driver. So he said no. So he tried to pass it back to DeAndre Smith, who was on that driver's side rear seat, who would have been right next to where Tupac was sitting. And supposedly DeAndre put his hands up and said, no, not me. And that's when Orlando Anderson, sitting next to him, reached forward and said, I'll do it. And he reached over DeAndre, and he's the one that pulled the trigger.
And this was not long after he got beat down by Pac and them in the casino.
It was about 2 hours afterwards.
Wow.
Right, and I always felt like those are the dudes that killed Pac, because, fuck, man, if somebody stomped me out in a fucking casino like that, man, that's what I'm going to want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always looked at it from that point of view, and all the motherfuckers are saying, oh, Suge had him killed. That's bullshit, man. Ain't nobody going to take a chance of getting shot just to kill somebody on some dumb shit.
Yeah,
you know, and then you got to remember the time frame, too. Like, Pac was on top of the world as far as the music, the movies, and Death Row was, you know, everybody can look at it now in hindsight, like Death Row, they crumbled. But at that time, they was like the major entity in hip-hop, let alone pop culture, period. You know what I'm saying? So, shit is wild, man.
It is wild. When you think about it, it gets even a little bit deeper. You know, when you think about it, like, all the conflicts that had taken place even leading up to that, you know, with Jake Roblox being shot and all the public dissing and the songs and the backstage confrontations. I mean, with all the animosity that was already going on between these crews, to have the stomp down take place, and now we know in hindsight that Suge always knew, you know, from there was already an altercation in the MGM prior to the stomp down between the Crips and the Bloods, you know, in the arena. So now you've got this animosity, this present, this clear and present danger, you know. Your enemies are amongst you. You've just had a fight. And what a phenomenal failure of security not to be prepared for retaliation at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one question I have, though, you know, because I'm a music journalist. I've seen a lot of Tupac documentaries about this murder. There was one back in the day, I forget the name of it, but they talked about that the security detail, like you were talking about this just a minute ago, they all were told not to keep their guns away, and it almost looked like Suge Knight.
I think
it was
like Frank Alexander, one of them guys that was with them. I seen one of them documentaries.
Yeah,
it
was Michael.
Yeah.
I think it was Michael Moore that made that claim. Coincidentally, Michael Moore. He's the one that I think made the claim of that.
The security guard, Michael Moore.
Yeah, the security guard, not the documentary filmmaker, Michael Moore. Yeah.
And when you guys saw that, you know, was it challenging initially to try to debunk that before you had all the information, or did you even know that you were going to pull out this kind of information?
Well, we already had addressed that. You know, all those people had been interviewed. Frank Alexander had been interviewed multiple times. Several of the people in the entourage. Reggie Wright Jr., of course, had been interviewed a dozen times. And we, you know, the attorneys had been interviewed. And here's where this misinformation has misled so many people. Reggie Wright Jr. never told anybody that they couldn't carry their guns. This was a big opening night for 662. This night was going to determine whether or not they got their gaming license. And so you wanted everything to go perfect. You couldn't afford to have any problems. And, of course, you're at Death Row in Las Vegas. There's potential problems because of just the nature of the gangs and that stuff. So Reggie Wright Jr. met with the Las Vegas Department and with the Death Row attorneys. And the Las Vegas Police Department said, listen, if you're security are going to carry guns in Nevada, make sure they have their proper Nevada concealed carry licenses. So Reggie Wright went back to his security guys and said, listen, anybody that doesn't have a Nevada concealed weapons permit, don't carry your gun, because if some shit goes down and we have to use guns and we don't have permits, we're all screwed. So it was a very responsible decision to tell these guys not to carry guns unless they could carry them legally. But that all got twisted by Michael Moore and Frank Alexander, because they wanted to push that whole Reggie disarmed us so that Suge could get Tupac killed. It was just a bunch of, you know, manipulation of information in order to promote a theory. But it was all lies. Nobody ever told those guys not to carry guns. They were just told to carry their guns legally or don't.
And you guys, I mean, the way you guys put this together, without a doubt, like I said before, you're going to, after you see this film, you're going to walk away thinking for sure that it went down like this. Did you, at any point in time, did you attempt, when you were investigating this as a police officer, did you attempt to try to get warrants for the arrests of Puffy and Suge Knight?
No, what happened was we knew we were going to need more. We were going to need more than just Chief ED's, testimony, his compelled testimony. And we were going to need more than Suge Knight's baby mama's testimony. We needed to have corroboration that we could take to court in the form of other co-conspirators. So we had formulated an investigative strategy to get the other people that were involved. And when that began to happen, the lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles was retracted based on our discoveries, because they knew they could no longer win the lawsuit. And once the lawsuit was retracted, the LAPD said, hey, we're about done with this. We've spent a lot of time and money and energy and personnel, manpower, and we're done with it. So they scrapped the case before we had the opportunity to take it to that next level.
Yeah. It almost sounds like they got somebody on the inside. Would that be fair to say?
This is just an opinion. I think that the LAPD, the upper management, the brass, it was their way of saying kind of like, hey, fuck you. You sue us and allege that we're directly involved in a murder and that we're covering it up. Well, now we've disproved that. So take your lawsuit, fuck off, and we're done. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
LA didn't want another O.J. Simpson trial. And it sounds like, from what Greg is saying, they weren't going to risk another O.J. Simpson embarrassment on a case like this one.
Yeah, and this is such a huge, huge case. Now they're getting ready. Matter of fact, they're already in production of a Tupac biopic, kind of like the N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton movie. Have you guys been approached for that film as well?
No, we haven't. And I on Twitter, I reached out to, I think, the director and I think the screenwriter. I just tweeted at them just because I didn't know who else to contact, just saying, hey, if you want to see it, our movie, let me know, and I'll send you a copy. And, no one ever got back to us. So I don't know how they're going to handle the shooting, the Tupac murder part of that movie. They might kind of gloss over it or take kind of a generic stance on it. I really don't know how they're going to handle it.
Yeah. Because up to the Straight Outta Compton release, we were interviewing a lot of the key players like Jerry Heller, and a lot of the people weren't consulting with these guys from the movie, and therefore there was a lot of inconsistencies and a lot of lies, according to many people. And when Hollywood, that's why I like documentaries, because when Hollywood gets a hold of something, they kind of put their own spin on it. But you guys went straight after facts. Like I said, you had witness testimony from different people at different times, and it matched up. That's what really sealed it for me. You had people saying things in this film, and I'm not going to reveal it because I want people to go out and see this film, but you had people saying things, 10 years later from what someone else said, and it completely corroborated with the testimony. So
absolutely.
I think you guys did a hell of a job at solving the murders, but I just wish that there could be some justice for Pac and Biggie.
Sure, and almost every single claim made in the film is backed either by a piece of hard evidence or witness testimony. We tried to stay away from putting anything in there that was speculative, because we didn't want to lead people down something that was just opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike.
The streets just kind of seem to have a way of taking care of themselves, and I'm with you. Like, there should, law enforcement should have done a better job, and the family and the friends and the fans of these guys deserve better from us, and we fell short on that. But at the same time, there's just kind of this irony because the streets have kind of taken care of the issues too. All of these guys are dead, essentially. Orlando Anderson shot and killed at a car wash, very violent death, which is worse than going to prison, I have to presume. And then, Poochie Faust, the shooter of Biggie Smalls, same thing. He's riding his motorcycle up the street. He gets shot 10 times in the back. DeAndre Smith dies. Terrence Brown, just a few months ago in a pot shop, he gets gunned down. So it's kind of, there's this certain sense of justice, at least from my standpoint, that nobody's getting away with anything except Puffy, I guess.
Well, I was about to say Puffy and Suge still around, what I'm saying? Like, the streets took care of it, I guess it's kind of taking care of Suge later on, but fuck, Puff still
Puff's
dancing around
the
fucking, skirt
mountain.
And shit like that. Here's
the thing, and I just always try to emphasize this because I'm not a fan of the guys whatsoever. I don't come to his defense, but I do have to say that in the interest of truth, we have to put things in the into the context of those times. They were at war, and somebody was going to get shot, and Suge was hunting Puffy down. He was kidnapping his associates, beating them, trying to find out where Puffy lived. Puffy had a target on his back. And he, out of that sense of fear and desperation, he made a decision to act first. And Pac got caught in the middle of it. And it's really unfortunate that Pac involved himself in all that drama with the gangs and with those, the Mob Piru. And I'm not excusing the guy, but I think it's important to understand the context of how this went down.
Yeah. It's almost like because of Puffy and Suge's bullshit, Biggie and Pac paid the ultimate price, and several other people, like you just said, too.
That's right. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah, MC8 was on a show just the other day too, where he was talking about Pac's downfall was himself aligning himself with various gangs.
That was an amazing interview. Amazing interview. That was like real talk.
Shout out to
MC8. Absolutely.
This film now, where could they get this at? I presume it's everywhere, Murder Rap.
Yeah, it's in the U.S. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon Video. It's on YouTube. You can actually rent it or download the own off of YouTube. And it's on PlayStation Network. It's on Xbox. So it's a bunch of places. It's been airing on Reels. It airs on Reels channel again on February 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So it's out there, and it's growing more with all this media attention that we just got this month. A lot more people are taking notice. So the word's just getting out there more and more.
Yeah, it's definitely, like I said, it's the most powerful Tupac documentary that I've seen because I've never seen – everything, has always been theory or he say, she say. There's never been anything that's presented evidence. And I think you guys done a good job of presenting evidence. And I still think that Puffy should at least, if anything, be brought in for some serious questioning about this. Because even if you're not guilty, Puffy, offered to take a lie detector test. That's the ultimate way to say, you know what, I'm innocent. I didn't have this guy killed. I'll take a lie detector test. Now, Suge, you know, in defense, like you said, in defense of Puffy, Suge is pretty much, we all know he's pretty much done. He's probably going to get a lengthy prison sentence. You know, but this other guy shouldn't be dancing around at the top of the mountain either. Not when there's two guys in the ground because of some bullshit that went on between him and Suge. But again, I commend you guys for your work. Hell of a movie. If they want to, get at you guys for interviews and whatnot, where can they reach you? On Twitter, I imagine?
We're on Twitter. We're Murder Rap Movie on Twitter. And then we are, if you go to murderrapmovie.com, that automatically will direct you to our Facebook page. And we're on there every single day, so we're interacting with everybody on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, phenomenal flick. Greg, when you started to investigate this prior to this case, you investigated, I believe, hundreds of cold cases. What drew you to this case?
You know, I got a phone call just out of the blue one time. I was driving around. I was working narcotics, and I got a call from Robbery Homicide Division, and they said, "Hey, we're interested in people that have a very strong gang background, a very strong narcotic background and a homicide background." And, you know, those were the three areas that I was, my forte in law enforcement. So I accepted the invitation to be a part of this task force. And once this small group of LAPD guys, you know, developed into this large group of task force officers with the FBI and the DEA and the ATF and the U.S. Attorney's Office, and it's this big collection of like 15 guys all collectively working this together. And it was fascinating to me, one, because of the challenge of it. I thought, man, if there's a case that I can really, you know, sink my teeth into, it's this one. And then I started to develop a real appreciation for the victims themselves, both Biggie and Tupac, it was a really, really, I look back with just absolutely, you know, I'm feeling blessed that I was able to at least get somewhere with it.
Well, do you guys have any knowledge of the Orlando Anderson murder too?
It's indisputable how it went down. It was a, it was something to do with, supposedly, allegedly, something to do with a drug deal with another Crip gang. And one version I heard was that he was kind of shorted on a drug deal that he had done. I think the weight was underweight, or it was just simply a drug debt that was owed. And he got a tip off with these guys. They were the Stones, an uncle and nephew. And they were supposedly had dropped a car off at a car wash in Compton to get detailed. And one of Orlando Anderson's associates is at that car wash. So he called Orlando and said, "Hey, the guys you're looking for are here at this car wash." So Orlando, you know, they've left, but they're going to have to come back to get their vehicle. So Orlando went over with one of his friends, and they camped out across the street and just waited. And then the confrontation and then a shootout. So it was completely, you know, unrelated.
So his had nothing to do with, Suge setting up the hit for Biggie and retaliation of Pac. Orlando Anderson and wasn't set up for retaliation of that shit too.
It was just street life stuff, gang related drug stuff, and completely unrelated. Yeah, just like, you know, most likely Terrence Brown's murder back in September at the marijuana dispensary in Compton was completely unrelated. You know, these guys lived a dangerous life where life expectancy for a lot of them wasn't very long. So eventually it just caught up with them. And to put one version of the Orlando Anderson shooting was he instigated the shooting and ended up dying in the shootout. So
the classic saying, "What goes around comes around" type of shit.
Yeah, live by the sword.
Live by the gun, you die by it, I guess.
There it is. Yeah. But that was, you know, interestingly, like when Orlando Anderson was detained after shooting Tupac in Las Vegas, and then all those, you know, raids happened in Compton, you know, all the search warrants, and Orlando Anderson was detained, he was actually arrested for another murder that he was suspected of a guy named Albert Webb. So Orlando Anderson was just, you know, he's just out there trigger happy. And if
he was on the radar anyway, huh?
Yeah,
he was already on the radar.
He supposedly got, you know, the baby moniker because someone, you know, the rumors on the street was that he had killed somebody when he was like 15 or 16. So that allegedly is why he got that Baby Lane moniker in the first place, since he had started so young.
He'd been arrested for bank robbery, you know, murder. You know, he was no joke. And unfortunately, I don't think Tupac recognized this, you know, the seriousness of his decision to attack him.
He had kind of a misleading look, too. You know, he was a tall, skinny guy. He dressed kind of preppy. That was just kind of his style. He didn't look, if you just saw him walking down the street, you wouldn't think, oh, I better watch out for that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of blended in with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at old pictures of him, he's wearing, like, polo shirts, and, you know, he just doesn't, you know, he's not wearing, you know, super baggy clothes or anything. He isn't all tatted up, you know, he just doesn't look like a killer. But he was one.
Wow.
Yeah,
y'all got the documentary to show everybody. Everybody need to check this out for the people that's listening right now or that's going to check out the archive, you know what I'm saying? Check out this documentary, man, because everybody's seen all the documentaries. Everybody's, you know, YouTubed and Googled everything, but what y'all got here is authentic, you know what I'm saying? And people need to be able to check out what y'all put y'all time and effort into.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. That's all we're trying to do is get the right information out there so that people can have an informed decision about what they want to believe happened.
All right, this is also, you know, it's a walk through 15 years of investigation. Like you said in the opening, you know, it wasn't just stuff that Greg and his task force collected. This is really a glimpse of what all the investigations, most of them people don't even know even happened, that were happening throughout the years, that just weren't made public because, you know, no prosecutions ever came out of. But a lot of work was done, and I would say probably 90% of the evidence in murder rap came from previous investigations. So it's also not just a glimpse of who probably did it, but a great look at all the work that had been, you know, put into this before these guys finally, you know, appeared to have solved it.
Yeah, and you guys currently are the only ones who solved this because no one else has. And hopefully someday there will be justice served because, you know, we got two of the greatest performers in the ground, you know, for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's crazy to think of. You know, but we ain't got to worry about hip-hop. Anymore. Everybody's on that feminine rap, so I think we're safe. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. Hell of a documentary. Go out there and see it right now and get it downloaded. Murder Rap. Inside the Biggie and Tupac murders. And again, I've seen them all, and this is the best one by far. So hell of a flick, guys. And give them your website one more time.
Yeah, if you go to murderrapmovie.com, that'll take you to our Facebook page. We're releasing our Facebook page as our website, and then the Murder Rap Movie on Twitter.
Thanks again, guys. I really appreciate it. Everybody listening, go out and get that film, Murder Rap, hell of a movie. See it now. And you might not, if you're following Puffy on Twitter, you might not be following him after this. I guarantee you that. Especially if you're a fan of Tupac. Hell of a show, guys. Thanks again. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. God bless you guys. We appreciate it.
Oh, most definitely. We hope to have you on again in the future. And maybe we can have some guests on the show. We've had a lot of, you know, we have some of the outlaws on here, live, different people that like D2 Spice One. I'm sure that they'd be interested to holler at you guys as well. So take care of yourselves. And everybody listening, make sure to tune in, you know, www.ugsforlife.com. Make sure to check out KFYB tomorrow, episode 176. And we'll see you guys Sunday, Church of Reality. I think it's episode 138, something like that. And other than that, we'll see you guys soon. Yeah, we're almost at 250. So thanks again to our guests for coming on the show tonight. I want to thank Greg and Mike. Check out the film Murder Rap, Inside the Biggie and Tupac Murders. Hell of a flick. I'm telling you, hell of a flick. Go out there and get it. The way they put it together, to me, I thought was phenomenal because, again, you had witness testimony years apart that matched what other people had said. You know, like different pieces of, you know, maybe car descriptions. I'm not going to go into everything because, again, I want everybody to see the film. But you will be convinced that Puffy had Tupac killed and Suge Knight had Biggie Smalls killed in retaliation. But, yeah, definitely crazy, crazy thing. But there is a scene in the film where Puffy actually meets with one of the guys that he hires to do this. And, they're talking about the where he met with him. And, you know, it's something, you know, like he said, Puffy was scared. He was definitely afraid for his life. So I guess he wanted to strike first, which and then they made the big mistake of thinking that they're going to go back to Los Angeles. That was stupid.
That was them trying to play that shit off, Perez. You know what I'm saying? They probably were trying to play that shit off like, man, we had nothing to do with that. We had nothing to worry about. But shit, they ain't know they was dealing with a motherfucker like Suge. Shit. But yeah. I always saw the Orlando dude was probably killed in retaliation of because I always felt like the dudes that Pac and them stomped out was the motherfuckers that killed them. He's just thinking about realistically. You just got stomped out in the club, and we get rushed out of here before they get out of here. They the stars. They think they want to fight. All right, we're going to wait for these motherfuckers. And when we come out, we're going to tighten these motherfuckers up. Fuck them bitch-ass motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way I looked at it. Like, Pac was shot up because of the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Because what was weird, I always had that theory in mind, too. I always thought that Orlando had something to do with it, but they tied it together. Because in actuality, Orlando was the nephew of the guy that Puffy was hiring to kill. You know what I'm saying? So and they were there strictly on coincidence. They were there. They said that they, you know, they went to the fights themselves since the 80s. So they were there on coincidence. It just so happened, and Tupac recognized him, ran over him. You know, so he started beating the guy down. And then after that, you know, a few of them got in the car, and it was time to go get them. But go out and check that flick, Murder Rap, hell of a movie. We're going to actually do a review of it on the site at ugsforlife.com here shortly. But I strongly recommend you go check that out, especially if you're a fan of Tupac and Biggie, or if you just want to know what happened. I mean, this isn't just a rap story. This is a story of two human beings that were murdered. Actually,
yeah, American
you heard
history,
what Greg
man.
Was talking about, all the other guys that got killed, too.
Right.
There was a lot of people, you know. It was almost like the frickin' Lufthansa heist in Goodfellas, you know.
Right.
Jimmy wanted to rub everybody out that was involved. It's kind of like that. A lot of people that were involved, a lot of the gunmen, a lot of the people that, you know, they were murdered themselves. So, goes to show you, you know, you fuck around with that life, you know, could lead to your death. And unfortunately, it happened with these two phenomenal artists. And you know, Pac, Biggie obviously is a huge talent, but Pac would have done so much more in the last 20 years, I think, than anybody. You know, he's the type of guy that he could start movements and get things going in different directions. And he wasn't just a guy that was going to jail all the time and being a criminal and doing crazy shit in the streets. This guy actually had visions, and, you know, he was taken from all of us way too soon. Much like John Lennon, that was another guy right there. You know, a lot of good people out there. You wonder, you know, 40 years since John Lennon was murdered, you know, what would he have done, you know, in that time span? Same thing with Tupac. But we're out of here. Episode 245 is in the books. Go check it out in the archive. We will see you guys next week. UGSforLife.com.
How long will they move me? Yeah. It's for my nigga Kato. It's still on, nigga. Thug life, thug life. How long will this shit fucking go off? Yeah, nigga. Tupac and this motherfucker. All my homies drinking liquor, tears in everybody's eyes. Niggas cried to mourn the homies' homicide, but I can't cry. Instead, I'm just a shoulder. Damn, why they take another soldier? I load my clip, I throw my eyes blurry. Don't worry, I'll get them suckers back before you bury. Retaliating full of 187. The real niggas get to go to heaven. How long will they move it? Bury me a motherfucking G. Bitch, don't wanna die, bitch, don't fuck with me. It's kinda hard to be optimistic when your homie's lying dead on the pavement, twisted. Y'all don't hear me though. I'm trying hard to make amends, but I'm losing all my motherfucking friends. Damn, they should've shot me when I was born. Now I'm trapped in the motherfucking storm. How long will they move it? Trigger, you my fucking nigga, and things won't be the same without you, nigga. I remember kicking back, you wanted a lack, and going half on a motherfucking honey sack. Smoking blunt after blunt, and steady drinking. Hung around so much, you knew what I was thinking. Tell me, Lord, why you take Big Kato? So confused, not knowing which way to go. I'm going crazy and running out of fucking time. I can't take it, I'm losing my fucking mind. So day after day, ride after ride, we'll hook up on the other side. Watch over your family and your newborn till we meet again, homie. How long will they mourn me?
A nigga tired of feeling sad, I'm tired of putting it work, I'm tired of crying, watch my homies bleed the earth. I know soon one day I'll be in the dirt, and my peoples will be mourning when they get a call from the corner. All niggas can say is that fucked up, and get tossed up, reminiscing how we grew up.
My nigga.
Rest in love to my nigga Kato, see you in the crossroads real soon. For now, let me pull out some proof, I'll be always thinking of your homie. Rest in peace.
How long will they
mourn me? And everybody gotta go. But why the fuck it had to be my nigga Kato? Another nigga fell victim to the chrome. It's enough to make you crazy. It's fucking with my dome. You only live once. Soon as drop a nigga had it bad. This is the day of my motherfucking birth. My niggas say they